So let's just pray together and ask for the Lord's blessing on this time of studying His Word. Lord, we do approach You humbly and recognize that You are all-powerful. Lord, that You are sovereign in the works of men. We take comfort in the fact that You are in control, Lord. And no good thing will You withhold from those who walk uprightly. Help us, Lord, as a church and as a people, Your people, to trust in You, to look to You, to depend upon You. Lord, You've spoken to us. You speak to us by Your Holy Spirit. You've spoken to us through Your Word, which is our authority, our foundation. Help us this morning to learn from Your Word, for the message to come deep into our hearts and to help us to live better, to love better, to reach out to those who are hurting, and to love You, Lord. We pray that You would do this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my sermon this morning is actually a question. The question is, how important is loving other people? If you were to ask a Christian or a believer in Jesus Christ, is it important to love God? Definitely, they'll tell you, yes, it is. Obviously, it's important to love God. It's of utmost importance. But when you ask the same Christian, is it important to love other people? You may not find as strong of an answer that it is important to love other people. Well, after we finish our study in 1 John chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 7 up to verse 21. We're going to see not only is it important that we love other people, but it is essential to our Christian faith and our relationship with God. You see, love isn't just something that we do as Christians. It's the thing which defines us as Christians. Love is a central part of our salvation and Christian life. If love is not there, then we do not belong to God and have no right to call ourselves saved or Christians at all. And I'm talking not only about a love for God, but a love for other people. This morning in our message and from our passage, verse 7 to verse 21, we're going to see three things, and I'll give them to you, and then we'll look at them individually as we move along. First of all, the fact that loving others is connected to God's love for us. We're going to see how central this idea of loving other people is in our faith. It is connected to God's love for us. Secondly, we will see that loving other people is connected to God's Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit in us. And then finally, we're going to see that loving others is connected to God's judgment of us. So we'll see loving others connected to God's love for us, God's Spirit in us, and God's judgment of us, all of these things coming from our passage this morning. I'll start reading in verse 7. We'll read up to verse 11, and we'll see from these verses that loving other people, or loving others, is connected to God's love for us. They're inseparable. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So we're talking here, obviously, about love, our call to love other people, and that connection to God loving us. In verse 7, it says, let us love one another. Love is of God, and everyone who loves is, first of all, born of God, and secondly, knows God. I ask you the question, are you born of God? Have you been born again? Are you born of God, and do you know God? Those are two good questions to ask, aren't they? Have you been born again? Are you born of God? And do you know God? This is eternal life, Jesus said. that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So, are you born of God, and do you know God? To answer those questions accurately, you have to ask a third question, okay? And if you answer yes to this third question, then you can also answer yes to those first two, if you're born of God and you know God. If you answer no to this third question, you must also answer no to those first questions of, are you born of God and do you know God? Are you ready for this third question? Do you love other people? Do you love other people? Because the Bible says that he who does not love, in verse 8, does not know God and has not been born of God. So if you can say, yes, I love other people, then you can also say, I know God and I've been born again, born of God. If you say, no, I love God, but I don't really love other people, it's not possible. It doesn't mean that our love for other people must be perfect. Obviously not. It's very difficult sometimes to love certain people, right? Of course, no one here in the room today, but you know, certain people. It doesn't mean that our love must be perfect. It just must be present. Okay? It has to be there in some way, form, or fashion that we love others. Well, we need to dig a little bit deeper into this question of, do we really love others? And ask ourselves, what does it really mean to love? There was a song written a long, long time ago, before my day, before my era, just so long ago, by a band named Foreigner. And the song went, I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. That's a long time ago, I know. I want to feel what love is. I know that you can show me. So the song is saying, I want to know what love is. And then the song ends with, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's part of it too. And so this band is asking their girlfriend or whoever this girl is, show me what love is. Human beings, no matter how great you think they are, will never be able to show you what real love is. That's something for only God to show us. So if we're asking, do we love other people? We're first asking, what does love really mean? I want to know what love is. And it's found right here in our passage. Good thing. I'm not just going to ask questions this morning. I'll answer them from our scripture. First of all, we need to see what love is not. Okay? To clear up some confusion. In our world today, we have guys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, whatever, telling each other, I love you. We have a lot of talk about love in the world, right? We have movies made about love. We have songs written. We call them love songs. And we need to clear up a little bit of confusion because many times, most of the time, when the world talks about love, they are talking about a type of love that is selfish love. So that's the first thing we see. Love is not selfish. When someone tells you that they love you out there in the world, not saved, don't know God, most of the time, they're telling you that they love you as a way to get something from you. Guys and girls, both the same. So they're in a relationship, not because they truly love you, but because it makes them feel good. Right? When you say, I love you, they love the relationship because it makes them feel good, or they can get something out of it. I see this in love songs. Do you listen to love songs? Yeah. Me too sometimes. No, some of you are shaking your head like this. Oh, Pastor. Most of the time, though, when you really get down to the bottom line, those love songs are singing about selfish love in a relationship for the way that it makes me feel or what I can get out of it. I appreciated this song. I wrote down some of the lyrics. I hope you don't mind. It's a terrible, but at least the words are honest, by a singer named Rihanna. Huh? Now some of your heads down. The song is called Selfish Girl. Listen to the words of this love song. And again, at least it's honest. She says, I'm a selfish girl when it comes to you every minute of the day, she's singing to her boyfriend or whatever. I'm addicted to what you're giving me, boy. It's killing me. When it comes to love, I'm not trying to share. You might think I'm greedy, but I just don't care. I need you in my world because I'm a selfish girl. That's the love song. And I want you to see from that song, why is the love song being sung? Personal gratification. Because it gives me something. It makes me feel a certain way. Or I get something out of it. I find in most destructive relationships, between boyfriends and girlfriends or whatever else, the person is in it for what he or she can get out of it. That's a selfish love. That's not true love. That's not real love. Next time that guy tells you, oh, baby, I love you. No, he doesn't. He loves himself. I read a love letter. It says, Dearest Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking our engagement. I'm so sorry that I did that. Please say that you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. So please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Marie. And then at the bottom, it had a P.S. She said, and congratulations on winning the lottery. Huh? Yeah. She doesn't love Jimmy. She loves the money from the lottery. Jimmy is just a means to an end. That's selfish love. So love is not selfish. Secondly, love is not a feeling. Someone can tell you, oh, I've fallen in love with you. Have you ever had someone tell you that? I've fallen in love with you. And then 3 weeks later, I don't love you anymore. I've fallen out of love with you. I've fallen in love with somebody else. What does that mean? It means the person was feeling a feeling of that they thought was love towards you. And then when the feeling went away, they said, now the love has gone away. No, love is not a feeling. That's something else. That's something superficial. That's not real love that we're talking about here. Feelings can come and go, but we can always choose to love. Love can be a choice, and it is a choice, isn't it? C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, said, don't waste your time wondering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, he said, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him. If you injure someone you dislike, you will find yourself disliking him more. If you do him a good turn, you will find yourself disliking him less. So what is he saying? Don't sit there wondering if you feel love for somebody. That's not even important. The important thing is that you act like you love them. You make a decision based on the will to love, based upon God's ability to love somebody else. Love is not a feeling. It's not selfish. It's not a feeling. Let's look at what love is. Verse 8, back at your passage here in 1 John chapter 4. He who does not love does not know God. And what does the end of the verse say? God is love. If you look also at verse 16, it says, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So when we're trying to talk about what real love is, we need to know this first of all. God is love. The Bible doesn't just say that God is loving, or that God shows his love toward us, or that God does acts of love. The Bible says very clearly that God is love. It is part of who he is, part of his character, part of his nature. The very definition of love is found in God himself. So if we're singing about love, or we're talking about love, you cannot talk about true love apart from God, because God is love. You see the connection there? If you looked up the word love in the dictionary, there should be a picture of Jesus right next to it, right? What is love? Look at God. God is love. But not only that, we discover here from our passage that love is sacrificial. We're talking about love here and true love. Here's what verse 9 says. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us or shown to us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. So we're asking, what is love? I want to know what love is. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. How? He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. These verses are saying very simply that true love, God's love, is sacrificial love. The word that's being used here, translated from the Greek language, is the Greek word agape. You've heard of that word before, haven't you? Agape love. I agape you, you could say to someone. Next time you want to tell your girlfriend something, just say, I agape you. But be careful when you do, because that's not a selfish love. In fact, the word agape is unique to God himself. Agape is the concept of a self-giving love that gives without demanding or expecting repayment. It is the God kind of love, sacrificial love. That's what you're saying when you say, I agape you, that I love you regardless. God loves us even when we are unlovable, even when we are his enemies, even while we were still in our trespasses and sins. That is when God loved us and sent his Son to die for us. That is the type of love that is genuine, that is true, a sacrificial love. This is how God's love came to us. Both the Father and the Son in the Holy Trinity, one God, three persons, made this act of love. The Father as an act of love, sending his Son, and the Son, Jesus Christ, as an act of love, giving himself in submitting to the will of the Father. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent. He didn't just say, I love you. The Bible says, and sent his Son to be, here in verse 10, the propitiation for our sins. When we got to that word, some of you were thinking, I understand this, I understand this, I understand. Then we hit propitiation and you thought, what does that mean? I'm lost. That word propitiation, some of you are thinking, they forgot to translate that word from the original Greek language. That word propitiation is a concept that if we are born again, we truly already understand. It is an idea of a sacrifice that turns away the wrath of God. God, listen, God rightly regarded us, apart from him, as worthy of his judgment. That means we deserve his judgment. We've sinned. We've sinned against him. We've sinned against our fellow man. And we're worthy and deserving of judgment. But on the cross, Jesus took the punishment that our sins deserved. He was a substitute for us, a sacrifice for us. He made atonement for us, to bring us to God through his sacrifice. And that's what that word propitiation means. It means Jesus came to take your place, to take my place. He was punished so that we could go free. He was bruised for our iniquity. The transgressions for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. You see the exchange that happened there? That's what this word propitiation means. Love is sacrificial, but love is also a response. And this is where we see the connection between God's love for us and our love for other people. Love is a response. We love God and we love other people as a result of God first loving us. Are you following me? So it is impossible for a person who has not experienced and accepted God's love for them in the person of Jesus Christ to love others as God would have us love. It's impossible. Why? Because our love for other people is a response to God's love for us. Isn't that what it says in verse 11? Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Look what it says in verse 19. You can just skip ahead. We're going to read it in a few minutes. Verse 19 is a familiar verse. It says, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. true love, genuine love, the love that we are called to love other people with, is a response, us responding to God's love for us. And it's not until you really know his love that you can love other people. Are you following me? Okay, loving others is connected to God's love for us. But secondly, this morning, from verse 12 to verse 16, loving others is connected to God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, within us. I'm going to read these verses and we'll look at them briefly. It says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. In that passage, you see that word, those words, abide in. And that means to be inside of, to belong to. What it is saying here is very simple. That we know, well, not maybe very simple, but hopefully it will be in a few seconds. We know that we belong to God, the Bible says, in verse 13, because of his Spirit living in us. Right? Isn't that what it says? The Holy Spirit living in us, so we know that we belong to God. But how can we have the Holy Spirit in us, or how can we know that the Holy Spirit is living inside of us? It takes it a step further in verse 14 and 15 by saying that you believe in Jesus Christ. Right? So here's the process that we've gone through here in these verses. Let me just simplify it for you before we move on. First of all, we believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God and that he is the Savior of the world and he died for my sins. Upon faith, the Holy Spirit of God comes into your life and lives in you. You're now the temple, the house of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is living within us. That's how we know we belong to God. But we can only know that the Holy Spirit is living in us. Are you ready for this? By what the Spirit produces in our lives and comes out of us. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. And all the rest, the others. But love being the primary fruit of the Holy Spirit. So do you see the connection here between loving others and the Spirit dwelling in us? We put our faith in Jesus Christ, verse 14 and 15. The Holy Spirit comes in us. That's how we know we're of God. We can know we have the Holy Spirit in us because we have this God kind of love coming out of us. Praise the Lord. There's the connection. So if you don't have the love, you don't have the Spirit, you've never trusted Christ, you don't belong to God. Isn't loving others important? Can't you see the connection here? Can't you see the importance, not only of loving God, but of loving other people? It's interesting at the beginning here, it says no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. Some of you who are incredibly gifted thinkers, that's what I call you. You think about everything that's being said. That's great. We talked about that last week. You're thinking, wait a minute. Jesus claimed to be God, and people saw him. How come it says no one has seen God at any time? Well, what it's talking about here in verse 12 is God the Father. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, talking about God the Father, now to the King, eternal, immortal, and invisible. With our physical human eyes, you can't see the Father. You can't see the Holy Spirit. You can see him representing himself in a dove or in a flame of fire, but the Holy Spirit himself cannot be seen with our eyes. Jesus said that God, speaking of his Father, God is Spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. So what we're talking about here is the Father, because we know that we can see Jesus and Jesus is God. In fact, John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time, it says, John 1:18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Alrighty? So Jesus is saying, if you want to see God, look at me. In fact, his disciples said, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. That's King James. Back when I was spiritual and I used to memorize the Bible, King James, so I'm sorry if it comes out every once in a while. Show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. We'll just believe everything. And Jesus said, haven't I been with you long enough? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus declared him to us. When you want to know what God is like, Jesus. When you want to know love, Jesus. When you want to know the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, God, one God, you can see that in the second person, which is Jesus. So here we are. No one has seen God at any time. But you can also, wait a minute, you can also see God through the way that we act, or the way that God would act. Because it's saying here in verse 12, I've simplified it, you can't see God, but you can see love. You can see our love for other people. And when people see us loving each other and loving others, they are seeing a representation of what God would do. What would Jesus do? WWJD. He would love other people. And when we love others, people are seeing God in action through our lives, even though they can't see the Father. And Jesus is in heaven now too in his physical body. He's not walking around on earth. We're the only ones to represent God. And we do so by the way that we love others. Okay? I'm getting ready for Bible college. Okay? I'm just really teaching here. This is theology. Thirdly, we've seen that loving others is connected to God's love for us. Loving others is connected to God's Holy Spirit in us. We've seen the way that worked back in those verses. And finally, loving others is connected to God's judgment of us. Verse 17 to 21. Let's read those verses and then we'll talk about them for a few moments. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So here in these verses, we're talking about God's judgment, especially at the beginning. And some of you probably got scared when I said loving others is connected to God's judgment of us. But you don't need to be afraid. Why? Right here it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness when? On the day of judgment. How do I know that I know that I know that I'm saved? First of all, it's by God's love for me. That's how I know. How do I know he loves me? He sent his son to die for my sins. Don't you remember verse 10? He loved me so much that even while I was a sinner and sinning against him, and we sinned. 1 John chapter 1 says, if you say that you don't sin, you're a liar. That's a sin. Lying, right? We sin, and God sent his son to die for our sins, to cleanse us of our sins. That's how much he loves us. And when you fully understand that love that he has for us, that even while we were rebelling against us, or against him, he sent his son to draw us back and to save us. That is love. And when you have that love in your mind, you will also have boldness in the day of judgment. I'm not afraid to die. Do you know that? I'm not afraid to stand before God. I know that I'll probably tremble and I'll be on my knees because God is awesome. That's the fear of the Lord. But I'm not afraid of his judgment because I know the love that God has for me. I know that he loves me so much, he's willing to die for me. And definitely, if he loves me that much, he's willing to keep me and to bring me into heaven and to embrace me for all of eternity. That's exactly what it's talking about here. But it's also talking about our love for other people. You have no assurance of your salvation, listen, if you don't love your brothers and sisters in Christ, all of them. Wait a minute, Pastor. I'll agree to 90%, but there's that 10% that cheated me. Have you ever been cheated by a brother in the Lord, a Christian? Sister in the Lord? There's that sister that broke up with me. When you're perfected in the love of God, you love other people, and you know that God loves you. That's what we're dealing with here. Speaking of breaking up, this may be a bad place to put this, but I'm going to do it anyway to help illustrate this passage, okay? The owner of a photographic studio told a story of a college boy who came in with a framed picture of his girlfriend. He wanted the picture duplicated, wanted a copy of the picture. Therefore, it had to be removed from the frame. In doing this, the photograph studio owner, noticed the inscription on the back of the photograph. It was written by this guy's girlfriend. It said these words, "My dearest Tommy," isn't that nice? "My dearest Tommy, I love you with all of my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you forever and ever," she wrote. "I am yours for all eternity," and it was signed Diane. At the bottom of the picture, in the same passage, it contained another small note that read, "If we should ever break up, I want this picture back." Maybe that's why he was making a duplicate. "I will love you for all of eternity. P.S. If we break up, give me back the picture." Let me tell you something about God. God will never break up with you. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And God will never stop loving you no matter what you do. He'll never stop. The love of God is infinite. God's love is the only love that lasts forever. And when you have that in your mind, that love has been perfected in your mind or complete, you have an understanding that God loves me no matter what, and Jesus died for me, and my sins are cleansed, and I'm forgiven, you will definitely have boldness in the day of judgment. But if you don't love your brother or sister in the Lord, there's no such assurance. Because how can you love God whom you've not seen? No one has seen God at any time. How can you love God whom you've not seen if you don't love the other people in this room or the people out there or the other believers meeting around town or around the world or those people that you hate right now? Who are they? This is what God is calling us to do. The commandment, I'll close with this, the commandment that we have from Him. Are you ready for this? It's not complicated. He said, "Pastor, your sermon is very complicated." Not this part. This is the commandment that we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. That she who loves God must love her brother or sister also. Have you followed? Have you seen? This is what God wants us to do. And to answer the question that we asked, how important is loving others? It is extremely important. Loving others is essential to our salvation because it is the fruit of God's work in our life by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and pray. Before we pray, I want to remind you that we always have a prayer team up here after every service. And if you need prayer for something, maybe today you just realize that you hate your brother, you hate your sister, you hate someone, you have those bad feelings. Those men and women are going to be up here to pray with you after the service, after the closing prayer, and before the next service. You can come and get prayer, and I encourage you that at any one of our services, whenever you're here, if you need prayer, that's always available afterwards. I just wanted to remind you of that. So let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for your love toward us. Without your love, Lord, where would we be? We'd be lost. Lord, I pray that we would experience your love on a deeper level. That we would come to know and to believe in our hearts that you love us so much. there is nothing that you wouldn't do to save us, to have us be with you. You even sent your own son. No greater love has any man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends, and you've called us your friends. Lord, I pray that not only would we experience your love for us, but that we would learn to love other people, that you would help us to love those who are unlovable, who are unkind, who are mean, who are hateful, that we would love even them. Forgive us when we fail, Lord. We are imperfect, but we want to do better, so we ask you to help us. In Jesus' name, amen.